It's Mind Food Radio. My favourite contributor to Mind Food Magazine joins me now, Dr. Emily O'Leary. Hello.
Hi, Nikki. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Quite a confronting article in the October edition about addiction and excuses and identifying problems. Ooh, what a big ball of wax.
I know, slightly different pace to the other articles, but you know, as I said in the article I've just written, it was something on my newsfeed and Facebook, and I read it, and I just thought, you know, I think this is kind of important to talk about.
It is. Okay, let's have a look at some of the normal excuses that we use on a day-to-day basis for overindulging in, say, alcohol or maybe drug use or something like that. What are some excuses people come up with?
I think it's around... the big thing, I think, is normalising the actual alcohol use. A lot of people use alcohol, like food, like shopping, like all of these types of things, as a bit of a crux. And when you think about that being taken away, a lot of people make excuses by saying it's not that big a deal, or I only do it on X amount of days, or I can go a whole month without it. And, you know, as I was talking to a couple of colleagues the other day, it's not so much about whether you can go without it or not. It's about the relationship and the reason why you use alcohol. So if you use it to wind down and to kind of regulate your feelings, then that's problematic drinking.
Yeah,
I think in some ways it's kind of old school thinking to think you're an alcoholic or you're not alcoholic. I tend to shy away from that. It's like there's problematic drinking or not problematic drinking.
Okay, and so what turns a habit then, Emily, into an addiction? Where's that fine line between somebody that, you know, has a couple of wines a few days a week or whatever to someone that has a real problem?
I mean, alcohol is a drug. So like all things, you know, you might start off problematic drinking, which essentially just means you're not just having a nice vino over lunch with friends and those types of things for sharing a bottle, but you're kind of using it to really just try and chill out. The issue is the problematic drinking leads on to and can lead on to increased amounts of alcohol, which then can lead on to habituation and tolerance. So, you know, it's kind of like one of severity. You might start off obviously having a bit of an issue with it, but then at some point there's a real sort of physiological basis for alcohol addiction and dependence, you know, and that's when your body actually takes over and craves it.
Okay, so what about the high-functioning addicts who say, oh, I've never missed a day of work in my life, I don't have a problem, but yet that's maybe consuming two bottles a day?
Yeah, and, you know, it's so tricky, and I was kind of thinking, like, I was in two minds about writing this, because I feel that whenever, you know, we talk about alcohol or any kind of substance, a lot of people will just turn off because it's kind of can be a bit too close to home, or they just don't want to go there. And the whole point of this article was just to kind of reflect on your own use and kind of go, well, it doesn't actually matter whether it's the two bottles a day, like you're talking of a high-functioning alcoholic. If it's having any kind of negative impact on your life, it's an issue. And, you know, people, there are a lot of people that are high-functioning, but what we used to class as high-functioning alcoholics. And the thing is, they can do all of those things. They can go to work, they can blah, 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 blah. But they're still not operating using their A game. That's the thing. You can do all those things, but you're never going to be at your premium. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you can do. If you're not enjoying your life, what's the point?
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, it all struck a chord with me because I don't drink anymore. And that's been something that, you know, stop, start. You know, I'm just one of those people that it doesn't serve well, doesn't serve me well. So I want my A game. So that's the decision I made. But I'll tell you one thing, very difficult being in either New Zealand or Australia, being a non-drinker. It's almost like you're ostracised to a certain degree, and the public houses and places, they don't make it that easy for you to be a non-drinker.
Look, they don't. And I think there's a kind of rah-rahness, really, to drinking culture. And look, I'm not a purist puritanical in any way. I really like all kind of things used in moderation, particularly, like, wine's lovely. But the issue is, in our cultures, Australia and New Zealand, there tends to be a go-hard or go-home kind of mentality. And I'm not entirely sure where it came from, but you're exactly right. Like, if you refuse a drink, it's kind of like, you know, you're either pregnant or a medical condition or a recovering alcoholic. you know, and we shouldn't really be put into those categories. It kind of be like, you know, if you don't want to have a drink, you don't want to have a drink. And it would just be really nice, I think, if we could take a more flexible, relaxed stance on people that don't want to drink, or really just look at, you know, improving their relationship with alcohol, like improving their relationship with food or with shopping or with gambling. You know, alcohol is a substance like a number of those things that people use in sometimes in unhelpful ways.
They sure do. And I'm really pleased you said that, because that would have to be an immaculate conception in my case. Now, look, it's a really interesting article in the October edition of Mind Food magazine. It is called Hooked on Excuses. And even if it's just something you've thought about fleetingly, go and read Dr. Emily O'Leary's article, because I think if you're someone that had a bit of a niggle with it, you know, I think it would help with clarity.
I think so too. And it's kind of like I wanted the article to be a reflective exercise rather than, you know, when they put those horrible pictures on the smoking packets, what actually happened? A lot of people had the adverse reaction and kind of shied away from it. I didn't want that with this article. I didn't want it to be a, you know, let's get really stressed and anxious about the drinking. I wanted it to be like, hey, just reflect on why you're using it. If you're having a Pinot because you really like it, great. But if you're starting to increase it and you're actually using it because you're getting more and more stressed out, you know, maybe reflect on some other things you can do.
Well, wise words again from Dr. Emily O'Leary.
Oh, look, I'm incredibly wise, Nikki. I keep telling you that.
I believe you. I believe you. I think the key is, you know, do you take your own advice?
Look, I do to a degree, all right? I definitely
Good
I
girl.
Do to a degree, but everything is an ongoing kind of battle.
Yes,
that's human nature, isn't it?
It is. Have you heard that saying, you can take my advice, I'm not using it?
I think a lot of psychologists do that, yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Emily O'Leary, thank you once again for your fabulously valuable time.
Pleasure. Thanks, Nikki.